time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is George Bentley, your host of Being Young at Any Age. This is where we are talking about a self-directed roadmap for you to help you create your optimal happiness, health, vitality, and wellness, no matter what your current challenges might be. The way I describe it is we're here to learn how to thrive now, meaning today. Carpe diem, seize the day. And my goal is for all of us to die young, but in an old age. And as you know, if you've heard on the show before, we truly believe that we have the ability to control our future and manage our aging process. And we will all live to be 95, 100 years old or older, as long as we become proactive and take advantage of the amazing technologies and wellness and health that we have available to us and that are coming down the pipeline as we get older. You guys will remember a couple of shows back, my 99-year-old dad still thinks he can drive, and I'm telling him, Dad, you know, stop driving and live to be 105, and it won't be an issue. And he's like, why? And I said, well, by the time you're 105, we'll have self-driving cars, and you won't have to worry about any of that, and I'll never have to worry about it. But we have a lot of amazing technologies available to us. And as you know, I break this down into four major categories. I call it eat right, exercise, avoid injury, and reduce stress. And being a dumb old boy from Arkansas, you know, I say I just got to really keep it simple. So that's what we're trying to do here. Today, we're going to have a guest, and we're going to talk about the idea of what we do with our bodies, what we ingest into our bodies, and how that can help us be healthier. It's not just what we eat and how we eat. It's actually a lot more than that. And I got to tell you, we got Dr. Dom in the house. Yes, and I'm excited about this. This is Dr. Dominique Taylor. She's a chiropractic physician. And Dr. Taylor has quite a background and a lot of knowledge, and I know you're going to love her. If you want to get in touch and reach out to her, again, we're creating the blog, we're creating the YouTube channel, we have a lot of different resources, and again, we want to invite you into our inner circle. And Dr. Dom, of course, is going to be a member of our inner circle in terms of her expertise and knowledge. She actually won the Diagnostic Excellence Award from Palmer College of Chiropractic, and she was also the Doctor of the Future Award recipient for ACE Nutra Applied Clinical Nutrition. Did I get that out, Dominique?
Yes, you did.
Okay, great. So we've been talking about on the show here about, you know, nutrition and health and what we do to our body has a major impact. Can you talk to us a little bit about healthy lifestyles, and especially when we're working with chronic long-term conditions such as type 2 diabetes and other conditions? And the way I describe it is, in Western medicine, we refer to these conditions as age-related or degenerative. And these are the ones I think we can absolutely do the most about. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I completely agree. The main thing that all of those conditions you speak of have in common are the inflammatory disease processes that occur with them. So it's usually like a secondary problem or diagnosis. So let's take type 2 diabetes, for example. A type 2 diabetic only becomes a diabetic typically later in their life, and it is always due to nutritional deficiencies or eating things that they shouldn't be. So when we say deficiency, we're talking about, you know, your vitamins and minerals, but the things that we shouldn't be eating, which cause inflammation, we all know sugar is a huge culprit, are our carbohydrates, because they break down into sugars very readily, very quickly. All of those things are used for fuel, but we know for sure that carbohydrates and sugars, no matter what kind of sugar it is, whether they call it natural, they call it, yeah, sucrose, fructose, they all break down into the body the same way, and they cause an enormous amount of inflammation for the individual.
And it just, you know, I'm thinking practical here, right? And I may be catching you off guard here, but everything's got sugar in it, right? I mean, in our diet today in the United States, it seems to me like everything I pick up has processed sugar in it, added to it, sweetened, you know, whatever it is. Are there any practical tips for somebody to try to avoid sugar? I mean, I get the carbs, right? Now I'm trying to reduce my carbs, and I know the main reason is that converts into sugar quickly, which is what you just said, right? But, you know, as I'm out there active and I've got a family or whatever it is, are there any tricks for just trying to reduce the amount of sugar that I'm exposing myself to?
Yes, absolutely. I guess really the clinical pearl that I give out to almost all of my patients is if you can grow it or you can hunt it or raise it, that's really all you should be eating. You know, like let's say carrots, for example, they have sugar in them, but you can grow them. So they have a lot of fiber, they have a lot of minerals, they have a lot of other really good things for you. If you can, you know, you go to the supermarket and you get beef or, you know, a steak, you know, whatever it is, a chicken even, it was grown. So that's not something that's been packaged, modified, things added in, put into a little, you know, package that you, you know, break open and eat. So if you can stay away from packaged goods and just stick to things that you can either hunt or grow, you will have a much better chance of staying away from the bad sugars, artificial sugars, and sweeteners, and even carbohydrates, because the majority of carbohydrates that we consume are not in the form of a potato that you grew in your backyard. It's going to be French fries that are highly processed. It's going to be snacks such as crackers and cookies that you buy in the grocery store that are prepackaged, breads that, you know, no longer have the right vitamin and nutrients that they could have had should you have made it at home. So basically, I'm not saying organic, I'm not saying that at all, because sometimes organic doesn't mean what they say it means. But if you can grow it or you can hunt it or raise it, that is a really, really good way to change your diet.
Well, that leaves my kids out of the equation because I have not been able to raise them. So I don't have to worry about eating them, I guess, but I've certainly thought about it. Well, what about, you know, this idea of do we need to go so far as like, what is it, a range-fed, grass-fed beef, and do we need to worry about the hormones and things like that in our meats?
I think that's really maybe a topic of discussion that we could jump in further at maybe a different time, because it would take a lot to really get out there. But what I would say is it's something you should stay conscious of and aware of, because our bodies react to hormones. They react to different additives. And a lot of that reaction depends on you, where you are coming from health-wise.
Yeah.
So you absolutely should keep that in your mind. If you can stay away from it, great. But if you can't,
well, let me dumb it down. You know, again, I'm just a dumb old boy from Arkansas, you know. So help me here. In your opinion, or how would you describe just exactly what is a healthy lifestyle? I mean, what does that mean?
A healthy lifestyle is basically going to be one that has two main components: eating proper nutrition and exercise. You cannot out-exercise a poor diet. That is a proven fact. That's not my opinion. You can eat completely junk, and you will never have a healthy body. You may see fitness trainers and people out there who eat a bunch of junk and they have muscles, but that doesn't actually mean they're actually healthy. If you looked at their blood panels, they wouldn't be very good. So, you know, you need to eat a healthy diet and you need to exercise.
In moderation.
And everyone's moderation is different.
Right. Moderation in all things.
Exactly.
Including moderation. Why has this changed? I mean, what's happened to us that, you know, when I was growing up, nobody talked about nutrition and food this much, you know. It was, and I tell people, you know, in the seminars and things of that nature, and you touched on this, you know, eating healthy is really pretty simple, you know, 2.5 cups of fresh fruits and vegetables every day. And, you know, if the closer you got to pulling them out of the ground, the better. But that's not complicated. I mean, we can understand that, but it seems like things have changed. What would you say about that?
The change really has been convenience, I believe. That's my opinion. We as a society, we want things to be convenient and fast. So prepackaged, or, you know, I can just drive by, order, have it, you know, handed to me. That's convenient. That doesn't necessarily mean healthy or better. I also know, I mean, if you look at studies from, let's go back to diabetes, you know, it's quadrupled. The incidence of type 2 diabetes, type 2, which is nutritional based, has quadrupled since 1980.
Jeez.
Okay, that is diet related. We know that. That's a medical fact. And that has to do with what we're eating. And that has to do with highly processed convenience foods, which are typically 90%, if not more, carbohydrates.
And our kids are suffering an epidemic of type 2 diabetes, right?
Yes. And type 2, like you said originally, that it's usually an old person's diagnosis. It's no longer that. We're having children as young as 8 with type 2 diabetes.
Jeez.
That are morbidly obese, and that's not a genetic component. Type 1 diabetes would be, but type 2 means that, you know, mom and dad are offering foods to that child that they shouldn't be consuming.
And I think, I don't know if I told you, but I'm from Arkansas, and I'm telling you, it is noticeable. It's really hard for me when I go back to visit and my own family that the average body size is significantly larger than it is here. And it's not like, you know, we're in the healthiest environment in the world, but it's noticeable. And it seems a little scary to me. And it makes me think, you know, I've been involved in dealing with helping seniors and people with age-related conditions and illnesses for 15 years now, and that's how this all got started. And I created this therapy process, medical hydrotherapy, that we have a registered trademark for. And basically what medical hydrotherapy is, temperature-appropriate, sanitary, non-aggressive whole-body massage. But what I want to tie into here is about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, we're getting these huge positive responses from our customers and our clients, and I mean, with these degenerative health conditions, right? They're seeing a very positive effect. And I went to lunch with a gerontologist friend of mine, and I said, Don, you know, what's going on here? I mean, what are we doing to people that's causing this positive result through the medical hydrotherapy? And again, I said, just dumb it down for me, will you? And he says to me, and I'll never forget this, he says, George, our body is like an automobile, okay? We're an internal combustion engine. That's the way we work. And our fuel, we have to provide fuel to our body, and then our body burns that fuel. And he sits there and he says to me, do you know why our body temperature is 98.6 degrees? And I'm like, no. I mean, why is it 98.6 degrees? And he goes, that's the temperature at which our cells burn fuel. That's our cells burning the fuel in our body. And the quality of the fuel that we put in our body, that's what affects the lactic acid, which is the exhaust. And you know what I mean? He's giving me this visual that makes a lot of sense to me. Can you talk a little bit about, number one, do you agree with that? And how is our body processing these nutrients so important to us?
Sure. So yeah, he's definitely, that's a very good way to describe it. So our bodies only recognize macronutrients as something that they can burn or break down for fuel. That's macronutrients are what your food that you consume are broken down into. And the most common that people almost always talk about are going to be 3, carbs, fats, and proteins. But there's 2 more. There's alcohol and ketones.
Oh, I'm all over the alcohol one. You know, I'm telling you, I've been on this vodka diet. It's great, Dominique. It's really great. You'd love it. I've been on about 2 weeks, and I've already lost 3 days.
But you have.
All right.
Yeah. We don't prefer people get all of their macros from alcohol. But this goes back to moderation, like you talked about, right?
Yeah.
So our body breaks down, let's say, the carbs, fats, and proteins, and that's from stuff that we eat that's endogenous, which means it's from outside the body. Your body naturally will make ketones inside the body endogenously when the conditions are right, okay? And then alcohol, again, is something you consume from outside. So that's the only way that we can break down things for fuel to make ATP, to give our mitochondria and our body energy. And then we do have, you know, the lactic acid as a fuel, kind of like what you were saying. There's other byproducts that are kind of like the exhaust. But when we're eating highly processed foods, when our body gets a chemical that it doesn't know what to do with, it knows it can't break it down for fuel. So what does it do is it stores it. And that's why people are continuously getting larger. We're having more obesity. It's because we're consuming things that our body doesn't know how to break down. So it just stores it. It just, you know, stores it. You get bigger. That's basically what happens because it doesn't know what to do with it.
Can we have a garage sale or something? I mean,
yes,
Craigslist.
That's what proper dieting is. Is it's basically saying, okay, we're going to quit consuming these things our body doesn't know how to break down, and we're only going to consume things that our body does know how to break down, but we're going to consume it in a specific way, like certain ratios or combinations. And that's where the word diet comes from, right? So there's different kinds of diets out there that work for different people.
That sounds, it makes it sound complicated. You know, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, in my mind anyway, and I think that's why we have so many diet books and fad diets and, you know, speaking for myself, I get overwhelmed. You know, it's like I want to try this, I want to try that, and it doesn't work, and then I yo-yo, and you know, whatever. Okay, we've all experienced that ourselves, or people that have gone through that. But I keep hearing about these ketones. I mean, what the hell is a ketone?
So a ketone is a macronutrient that your liver produces when you have low amounts of sugar in your body. And the ketone is derived from your stored body fat cells. So your body fat is broken down via the liver into ketones, which is then used as energy to give your brain support so that you have better cognition. It decreases the inflammation because it burns more efficiently, kind of like fuel. We can go back to that, where you have, you know, like your ultra, your premium versus something that's not as good, like your regular. If you want to decrease the particulates or the exhaust, you burn a higher efficient fuel. And that's what a ketone is. It is a very hot, efficient fuel for your body.
Okay. So remember, I'm just kind of a dumb old guy here. I can't remember what it was, one of these diets, the Atkins diet or something, whatever. But I got to the point where they told me my body was in ketosis. How does that relate to, is that what you're talking about? I was now producing ketones or what?
You always produce ketones. Ketones are always in your body.
Okay.
Okay. So that's one misconception. When you reduce your carbohydrates or your sugars low enough, you quit burning sugar for fuel and you convert over to ketones. So your body is in ketosis, which basically means presence of ketones at a certain blood ketone level in your body. And then you start, it's called a shift. Then you start burning your own body fat to make ketones, which is why people get their reduced fat. That's why they lose weight, which is really what you're going for. So ketosis is a very, very good thing as long as you're not a type 1 diabetic. If you are not a diabetic, ketosis can't hurt you. And that's the word ketoacidosis. And it's not even the same word, but a lot of people get those confused. So I want to make sure that people listening to this know that there's a very big difference. Ketoacidosis is something that happens to type 1 diabetics. If you're not a diabetic, it cannot happen to you. Ketosis is happy and healthy for you.
Or if you're a type 2 diabetic.
Well, type 2, it's a little different. So, because you're not, type 2 diabetics typically don't go into a ketoacidosis. And the reason for that is because their body still produces insulin. A type 1 diabetic doesn't. So it could get a little fuzzy there, but as long as you're not a diabetic, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Just that's as easy as we can dumb it down that much. So no, non-diabetic, this is a good diet for you.
And, you know, I've done quite a bit of reading and research on this over the years. And again, you know, the enemy I'm after is long-term degenerative conditions and helping us understand again that we have a lot to say about that, and we can, you know, create our own destiny to a major extent there. And in a lot of the readings that I've had and done in the past, I keep hearing this conversation about inflammation and the fact that these degenerative conditions, arthritis, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, you go down the list, are the result of long-term low-grade inflammations in the body. How does working with ketones and thinking about this science relate to this inflammation this in our body?
So the simplest way to put this is that the ketone versus the carb is the more efficient fuel, and it doesn't produce inflammatory byproducts. So your body immediately decreases in that inflammation, which helps to make you feel better. Now, when we're talking like arthritis, whether it's rheumatoid or osteoarthritis, which osteoarthritis is just another big word for degeneration, it will help those drastically because you're taking out that inflammation that's always sitting there that you're eating. So then your cells are no longer, you know, bombarded with all of this inflammation. Your vessels, your blood vessels, become less taxed. Your muscles start to work better because they're getting better fuel, more efficient fuel. They're not holding on to that exhaust. A lot of us have problems with, you know, our kidneys are excreting some of these bad fuels. We hold on to them, and that's where we get like gout and, you know, different other things that cause inflammations in our body as we age. So if you just eating better and your goal is to keep your blood ketone level, you know, at a low to moderate level, you are going to basically naturally do for your body what a lot of medications out there claim that they do, but they add in all sorts of other things that you have no idea what that side effect is going to be.
Well, I want to ask you about that, and I on this program, we really, really encourage people to, you know, be asking why and talk to your doctors and it's why and why not, and try to understand, educate yourself as best as you can, and be careful with your loved ones, you know, because I just had an experience not too long ago where my dad's doctor calls me. He lives in rural Arkansas, right? And this guy calls me. He goes, "What the heck's going on with your dad? Oh my gosh!" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I just saw him downtown. He's walking down the street with some young woman on his arm and a big smile on his face." And I thought for a second, I said, "Well, you know, Doc, I think Dad's following your advice." He called me after his last visit with you, and he told me, I thought it was really interesting, but he told me that you recommended that he get a hot mama and be cheerful. And there was a pause, and the doctor was like, no, that's not what I told your dad. I told him he's got a heart murmur, be careful. So my point with that is, you know, we hear stuff from Doc. And I'm not anti-doctor. I'm not anti-prescription medication. I'm just pro no. You know for yourself. Ask why. Understand. How do the medications? You know, how do we balance that all out? If it, you know, at 65 in the United States, the average American's taking between 5 and 7 prescription meds. How does this fit in with, or does it? I mean, is there any relationship between your message and pharmaceuticals?
Absolutely. Most people are on different pharmaceuticals because of the inflammation in their bodies, causing different kinds of diagnosable conditions. And if they would just change their diet to something that's healthy, those medications would be decreased over time. And I'm not saying, you know, stop taking your medicine because you're doing this diet. No, you need to work with your doctor. You need to tell them what you're doing, and you have to have a goal in mind. The biggest problem that I see with most patients, or the biggest question, I should say, that they have is their doctor always says, it doesn't matter what kind of doctor it is, they say, you know, you need a healthy lifestyle that includes a healthy diet and exercise, and that's as far as it goes. They don't tell them what that exercise needs to be, and they don't tell them what that diet needs to be.
Right.
So that's where we have to become our own advocates and start asking more questions.
Okay, and that's why I tell people, when your doctor says that to you, eat right and exercise, you know, for example, on the exercise side, they're not telling you to go out and lift weights and try to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're saying, what I would say is, you know, tell them how to eat right, and then you need to figure out how to move your body, okay? Walk, do medical hydrotherapy, do something. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong there, I think the reason for that is the lymphatic system. If we don't, my dear friend Mark McIntosh loves to say, a sweat a day keeps the doctor away, right? And I'm going, yeah, Mac, I think that's probably true, but most of my clients, my dad, 99 years old, it would kill him to work up a sweat. But anything we can do that stimulates our lymphatic system to help our body detox and flush itself is a positive thing to do. Do you have an analogy similar to that on the diet side?
Yeah, that's exactly what going low carb or ketogenic is. Is you're getting rid of.
You know, I got to tell you, the producer's sitting here eating pizza while we're talking about this.
Hey, that's. You know, you can have a cheat day. These diets aren't things that are supposed to be like
so
black and white. You know. But it's a different mind frame. You just have to know that what you're doing today is going to benefit you. It's going to help your body basically detox, like you're saying. It's going to help the body get rid of the years of accumulated junk that it didn't know what to do with. You're going to help flush that. And whether you do it thermally, with heat hydrotherapy or, you actually go to the gym or you just walk, I mean, it doesn't matter. You're still going to stimulate that system to try to get it out. But if you keep feeding that same system, that same junk that it doesn't know what to do with, you can't expect a different result.
Right.
So you have to make these changes, and they can start off tiny. It could be just quit drinking soda, you know? That's it. Start there.
Well, and you know what? That's what this is all about, Dom. You know, I really want people to understand that it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to do everything all at once. Just pick one thing and keep it simple, stupid, and do it. And so speaking for myself, the best thing I did for my attitude was I haven't read a newspaper in 20 years, you know, and I don't miss anything. And I don't sit around and watch the news all day. I think that helps me with my positive attitude and my energy. I stopped drinking soda, I don't know, 20 years ago, something like that. I don't miss it at all. It was just one little thing. Now what I'm doing is I'm listening to people like you. And so like last night at this event that my wife and I were at, they're serving these like, you know, mini slider burger type deals. And I ate. And I just didn't eat the bun. You know, I ate the veggies that were there. I had a great time, and I was not depriving myself in any way. But I just think it takes a little forethought to say, hey, do I turn into McDonald's or do I do something different? And if I'm going to turn into McDonald's, maybe I don't eat the bun. Maybe I get a salad instead of the fries. It doesn't have to be complicated, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best way to go about it. Just make small incremental changes. The key is consistency. If you are not consistent, you cannot expect a different change or a different outcome, right? You just can't. So whatever.
Isn't that the definition of insanity? Isn't that what Albert Einstein said? And
yes, basically yes. And he's he is one of the smartest guys that has ever graced the earth. So I think we should probably listen to him, right? If you don't do something that makes you a little uncomfortable, that isn't a change, you can't expect a different outcome. You just can't.
But you don't have to do it all at once either, right?
No, you absolutely don't. You need to.
I'm focused on bread. I mean, I'm just focused on carbs. That's it. That's all I think about. You know, I really don't even think about anything else. It's just, can I consume this and reduce the amount of carbs that I'm ingesting? And it's very easy. I'm finding it to be kind of simple.
If you equate it to feeling good, like, if I eat that bread on my bun or that bun, or if I eat that candy bar, I'm going to have more inflammation and I'm not going to feel that good.
Yeah.
So if you equate it to something negative that you don't want to happen to you, it's easy. You're just like, ooh, I don't want to feel like that anymore, so I'm going to quit doing that. But the only diet that's really sustainable for anyone is the one that you're going to do.
Yep.
So I don't care what you call it. How you get there from here, just pick
just
something
and baby steps, right?
Exactly.
Keep it easy. Keep it simple. Dr. Dominique Taylor, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a great, great show for us, and I hope everybody's paying attention. Remember, this is George Bentley. It's all about being young at any age, and we're here to help you with a self-directed roadmap to help you create your own path towards optimal happiness, health, well-being, and vibrancy. So look for us here again next Saturday at 3 p.m. Look for our blog, our YouTube channel. If you want any information about Dr. Taylor, just reach out to us. You can. We're going to have the website up very quickly, but right now you can go to BentleyBaz.com. You can email me at George@BentleyBaz.com, or you can call us at 303-388-8887. Dr. Taylor will be part of our inner circle of experts, and we'll be happy to connect you to and help you learn from one of the best. Dominique, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.